The gist. Determining how many people with long-term COVID-19 come down with ME/CFS is no small thing. Studies, after all, show that ME/CFS impacts one's ability to function like no other disease. That means that long COVID patients who also have ME/CFS may very well end up being the sickest of them all. Suzanne Vernon of the Bateman Horne Center led the RECOVER-funded study. It found that most people who contracted COVID-19 completely recovered, 56%, after 6 months. A large percentage, 40%, still had some problems, were ME/CFS-like, had at least one ME/CFS symptom. And a small number, 4.5%, met the Institute of Medicine criteria for ME/CFS. 4.5% may seem like a small number, but given how many people came down with COVID-19, it suggests that an unexpectedly large number of people have one of the most severe types of long COVID. Indeed, RECOVER study found a significantly higher percentage of long-term COVID patients have ME/CFS than other studies. Overall, the study found that the coronavirus pandemic has caused a 15-fold increase in ME/CFS in the U.S., and for various reasons, that's likely an undercount. It also found that the ME/CFS group of long COVID patients was far worse off than the ME/CFS-like group. Plus, almost 50% of ME/CFS patients fit into the most severe long COVID category. The study did not include long COVID patients who had been hospitalized. On a different note, you can support the effort to produce more effective ME/CFS research studies by signing a petition being circulated by the ME Association and ME Action to produce the first research definition for ME/CFS. And you can see a link to that petition in the text version of the gist. Given that ME/CFS group of long COVID patients is so large and in bad shape, it's a good time to take a new look at what's happening with the $1.8 billion RECOVER Long COVID initiative. RECOVER spent surprisingly little money, at 5%, trying to understand the cause of long COVID, choosing instead to spend much of its money, 55%, on its huge 40,000-person-plus observational studies that seek to characterize it. To achieve that, RECOVER is putting its participants through Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 testing protocols, involving over 100 assessments and tests. Because long COVID is from lung to heart to kidney problems to ME/CFS, RECOVER's testing protocols had to be wide enough to capture all the subsets. Many of the tests, therefore, will not apply to the ME/CFS-like long COVID group. Because RECOVER was tasked with uncovering all the long COVID subsets, though, it also needed to provide ME/CFS-specific tests that would differentiate the ME/CFS patients from the other groups. This blog attempts to answer how well RECOVER did that. The key to understanding the potential of these tests is their size. With 30% and 20% of the participants slated to undergo Tier 2 and Tier 3 testing, many of these studies should be large enough to distinguish the ME/CFS group and also find subsets within it. A study indicated that the simpler Tier 1 tests were worthless, and we don't know the outcome of the Tier 2 or 3 tests. From pulmonary function to electrocardiogram to autoimmune tests, the vast majority of the Tier 2 tests are the kinds of tests that many of us have taken and have proven worthless. The Tier 3 tests are another matter. While many will not be helpful, the brain MRIs, cerebral spinal fluid tests, gut microbiome, blood vessel, autonomic nervous system, muscle and skin biopsy, and especially the invasive exercise test, should make the ME/CFS subset stand out like a sore thumb. Size, again, is so important. If these studies are large enough, they should be able to uncover subsets. And uncovering subsets, Dr. Klimas believes, is the key to finding suitable treatments for ME/CFS and long COVID. RECOVER did not employ many tests that could have been very helpful. They include tests that illuminate blood flows to and in the brain, energy production and oxygenation in the brain, mitochondrial functioning, immune cell functioning, blood volume, oxidative stress, or the omics, gene expression, proteomics, metabolomics, epigenomics, studies that have proved so helpful in ME/CFS and other diseases. Because understanding diseases at the molecular level has been so helpful in diagnostics and finding treatments, RECOVER's lack of interest in profiling long COVID at the molecular level has been criticized. I'm a layman, but for what it's worth, I expected RECOVER to employ one of the biggest omics explorations in the history of medicine to get at the beating molecular heart of long COVID-19 as quickly as possible. Instead, they chose to attempt to characterize long COVID-19 using traditional tests. Despite its testing lapses, I believe RECOVER will greatly benefit the ME/CFS cohort in long COVID. Its large studies should validate and extend what we know about exercise intolerance, brain issues, and gut and blood vessel issues, and hopefully uncover subsets in each of those areas. The invasive exercise studies will jumpstart studies that attempt to understand the roles blood flows, oxygen uptake, mitochondrial problems, shunting, CO2 levels, etc. play in the exercise intolerance found in these illnesses. Studies exploring the role that energy production problems play in these diseases should boom. Because the NATH intramural study's limited examination did not reveal significant structural abnormalities in the ME/CFS patients' muscles, while other more extensive muscle biopsy studies have, everything depends on how detailed RECOVER's muscle biopsy studies are. If they're extensive enough, these studies will spur studies into mitochondrial problems, oxidative stress, inflammation, and impaired energy metabolism. RECOVER should give us a clear idea of where the broken connections in the brain are, how they affect symptoms, and in which patients they occur. While blood flows into and within the brain are not being assessed, blood vessels in the brain are. If we get lucky, if getting lucky means uncovering evidence of misfolded proteins, neurological damage, and neuroinflammation, those results will spur more interest in the brain. While limited, the autonomic nervous system results will spur more interest in dysautonomia. With its large studies, RECOVER should be able to tell us what's gone wrong with the gut microbiome, in which patients, and how it affects symptoms. Identifying subsets should enable deep dives into their molecular underpinnings, allowing for the development of biosignatures and ultimately treatments. The huge amounts of data that RECOVER is making publicly available will help computational biologists understand long COVID on a systemic level. Plus, the enormous biorepositories of samples RECOVER is collecting should prove invaluable in the long run. Much depends on the study size and how thoroughly RECOVER employs its testing regimens. Time, as always, will tell how this all turns out, but we should start seeing the results of the Tier 1 and 2 studies soon.